join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
What we're excited about now is that we have a chance to turn to God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, I'll be reading in just a moment from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in the third verse. We began discussing the subject matter this morning and the thought of demolishing the strongholds in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As Chrissy began to share her heart in prayer, I couldn't help but think about our new property, and one of the things that we feel God has kind of circled the calendar and asked of us to not wait till Calder to do, but to begin doing here. And that we have been doing now for over 6 years. Tomorrow evening, myself along with the Dean of Students, Joey and Shay Butts, will begin our new class of ministers and ministries that are being birthed from this church. You see, we have a dream of someday having a beautiful dormitory where students can come and live on campus and be trained to go into full-time ministry. During the month of February, you'll see our most recent 6 graduates and be introduced to a class now that looks like about 25 are going to be here tomorrow night to begin this year's school of training. And so we are committed to going now and not waiting till we get to the property to start training. This will be at least our 6th year, and our hope is on Calder Road someday we'll have a dormitory where you can come and you can be a part of that, and we can have Chrissy come and be a professor and come for a number of weeks and teach us about missions and what that looks like. And so our hope is that you can stand in that building and preach those messages. Would that be okay? Maybe that little something extra, that lanyap that you prayed for, maybe that's what God had in mind, and we're going to hold you to that. So here we go, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, thoughts, if you would, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." In this season of God releasing His strength and releasing His presence, we hear God clearly saying that this is a time of freedom. This is a time of Him breaking off certain things in our life that have been holding on. It's a season of Him breaking up the fallow ground that has caused us to slumber, caused us to be somewhat dormant and slack in our lives and in our giftings. But in this season, we hear God saying that He has released a power to destroy the very things that have been destroying us, the very things that are in our heart, in our thoughts, that the enemy lifts very, very high, so high that it keeps us from walking by faith and doing courageous, contagious things for God. And God has called us to be radical in our obedience. And it's through this obedience that He calls normal that God does super normal or supernatural things. You see, there are things that God is in this season saying, you can take dominion and you can have authority over this thing. But you have to understand that you are in a battle. The Bible says, "For though you walk in the flesh, you cannot war in the flesh." Now you can. Many of us have proved that. We can take the battle into our own hands. We can take how we feel about the battle into our own emotions. We can take what we're thinking and our thoughts, and we can go into battle in our own power and strength. But Scripture's pretty clear here. Scripture is pretty clear that though we walk in the flesh, we should never go to war and battle in the flesh. Because we are not fighting just a fleshly enemy. We are fighting a mighty spiritual enemy. And therefore, He's given to us weapons, weapons that are not carnal, but they're mighty. So mighty, they will pull down the strongholds, pull down the strong things The strong man, if you would, that every time you try to move forward and get ahead, it pulls you down. As I travel this country and pray for people all over, I keep seeing something over and over again. And what I keep seeing is a longing in people's hearts to be something more. They want to be more. They dream about having more. They talk about doing more. And yet every time there's a release of power to do that and to become that, there is that invisible something that has a visible hold on them. It restricts their praise. It restricts their worship. It restricts the release of God being able to flow through them in a powerful way. Something reaches up inside of them. Something says something to them, and it limits them and it paralyzes them in the flesh. And so in their natural person, in their flesh, they keep trying to find a power in themselves to be free of this something that has a supernatural hold on them. Are you breathing? And with each new year and with each new slogan and theme, they say to themselves, this year, I'm going to do better. This year, I resolve to be free of this and free of that. And it's much like with the testimony this morning that we began service with. She talks about, in her note to me, of being stuck in a same place over and over again, wanting to get out, but not having a way to get out. And I can't help but wonder how many of us fit in that category of week after week after week, coming to church, wanting to do more, wanting to be more, wanting to have more, but just not having that more within them to get free. Well, I think it's important for us to recognize that something more is not in your natural man. It's not in your fleshly man. It's in your spirit man. God has given your spirit his weapons. And these are not carnal, but they're mighty. So mighty, they can pull down any stronghold and every stronghold in your life. But as with the other promises of God, it's conditional. There's a cause and an effect. There's a choice and there's a consequence. As I've traveled and as I've spoken to people, I still see them in the same place the next year as I saw them in the previous year. No closer to doing what God wants them to do and promising them what he will do. But now just a little bit more frustrated. And they quickly run to Proverbs and quote, hope deferred makes a heart sick. I can't help but as a minister of the gospel to step back and ask, why do they remain in the same place and therefore remain sick and yet expect something different? When I step back and I ask that question of myself and of others, I begin to realize that too often you and I have allowed our obedience to become dormant in a certain area in our life that God has already spoken to or that God is currently speaking to. God is a God of obedience, and he is not obligated to bless our disobedience. And yet that doesn't keep God's people from sitting back and expecting a different outcome with the same level of inactive faith. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you breathing? See, your weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal. But kid not yourself, there's a big part of you that is. Let me say it again. This can go a lot faster and a lot easier if you'll help a brother out. Kid not yourself, though your weapons of his mass destruction are not carnal, there is much of you that still is. Now turn to about three people around you and tell them he's talking about me. Now scripture says here, but mighty through whom? Not yourself, not your own strength, not your own reasoning, and not your own ways, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it behooves you and it behooves me. And that's not a word that you use every day. But as behoovers, We must ask ourselves then, what activates God to be strong in my life, to begin demolishing these strongholds, and to begin tearing down what the strong man has held against me? Well, Scripture tells us. It says that you and I must begin casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You must understand how the enemy works in your life and where he works. Because this is where the battle is won or lost. And it's a battle that many of us have been losing over and over and over again for years and not even recognizing that today God's word works in such a way that when you actively walk in obedience to it today, not tomorrow, not next week, God's power is not on layaway, but God's power is at your access right now. And when you begin to walk in obedience, you begin to speak to things that be not as though they are. You must understand, this passage tells us where the battle is. It hints at it when it says casting down imaginations. What are imaginations? One writer says, highly selfish thoughts. What does he say? Vain imaginations are highly selfish thoughts. What is it? See, I was single for the first 21 years of my life. It wasn't until I got married that I began to realize just how selfish I was. I got a revelation. Any of you get that revelation? I didn't even know I was selfish. I did not even realize that I had dug myself into my own ways and my own thoughts, committed to my own thing, until I had to become one with someone else's way, someone else's thoughts, and how they did things. I'm just saying. God is no different. When you walk to this altar and you are introduced to Him as your Lord and Savior, He lovingly welcomes you home. And the becoming one process begins. You see it throughout the Bible. You see Isaiah say, His ways and His thoughts are so beyond mine. You see another writer say, not my will. And the writer that said, not my will, but thine will, the very author of those words was Jesus, the Son of God Himself. And so there is this tension, there is this dynamic that exists in the heart of every one of us as believers, and that is a surrendering process that leads to a maturing progress that says, God, not my will, but thine. And so what we see here is the Apostle Paul is saying, here's where the battle is. The battle is in between your ears. And to the degree that you allow the word to have authority in and over what goes on here, to that same degree will you walk in obedience out here. And he's saying that day after day, moment after moment, year after year in your life, the enemy is going to come and appeal to the carnal part of you, the highly selfish part of you. That sounds right. That says to yourself, yeah, you know, I am entitled. She should treat me better. What is she thinking? Does she not know who she got? Did she not get the memo? That's how I've always done it around here. The Apostle Paul is saying, that's where it's coming. Get ready. That's the battle. And what goes on in here is going to come out here. Because what goes on in here that the enemy brings, it highly exalts itself. And it seeks to eclipse what God is doing. That it comes with its own noise, its white noise, that leads to dark destruction. Now, let's remember that Revelation describes our enemy as the accuser of the brethren. So from sunup to sundown, that voice of the enemy is constantly talking. Or as Haley said in her testimony, gently whispering about you to you, and how the enemies looked at you, weighed you, measured you, and found you lacking. And he has whispered these lies constantly for years. You're not this, you're not that. You're not enough this, you're too much that. In first service, I began to model it like this. I've heard that voice, and you've heard it too, say, you're too fat. Then I've heard that voice say, you're too skinny. And now that I'm almost 50, I'm just flinty. I'm big where I want to be skinny, and I'm skinny where I want to be big. I'm in between. I'm flinty. You know, guys, as you get older, your legs become little toothpicks, and you look like Mr. Potato Head. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you demolishing arguments, demolishing strongholds, activating through your obedience the power of God to break the yoke of the strong things that have been holding you down. And can I say this now? Holding you down long enough. He's told me what I could do in praise and what I couldn't do in praise long enough. He's told me what I could do in life and what I shouldn't do in life long enough. I am tired of being pushed around. I am tired of this voice having that much influence in my life. I am tired of it being like a hand that constantly, every time I want to be more and do more for God, reaches up, pulls me down, reminds me that I am less than the thought that the enemy exalted higher than what God said about me. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's not if the enemy's going to do this. It's when the enemy is doing this. And do you know what he's saying and how wrong that it is? And Scripture tells us that, hey, we've got to first realize it, that it's there, and then we've got to cast it down. See, I believe the reason why he chose this and talked about vain imaginations is because our thought processes, what goes on in here, is what is most carnal. Long before we do something wrong with our hands and with our mouth and with our bodies, it began right here. He appeals to the most fallen part of us. This is where the soul of our thoughts and imaginations and feelings are. And he says, you know what? You got to, first of all, you're not going to cast down anything you don't realize is there and realize it's wrong. If you don't see anything wrong with what you're thinking, you won't change your thinking. And a lot of times before we'll change it, we have to keep feeling continued pain over it. Amen. And I declared war on my life a few years ago. And what I mean by that is the part of my life that has been under the enemy's stronghold. And I decided, you know what? There are just certain things that are not going to get my attention. There are certain things that are not going to get my time. There's going to be even certain people. Are you breathing? They're toxic. And when they're talking to me, I'm going to be smiling, I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to be respectful. And can I tell you, it's not going in one ear and out the other. I'm going to be honest with you, it ain't even going in. Turn to your neighbor and like, well, well. I've realized God has put a lot. He's invested a lot in this little old boy. And he's invested too much in me to allow the things in that will destroy all that he's invested. Just because someone's talking trash and won't take out their trash doesn't mean they can come dump it in your heart and in your house. I stopped listening to my past a long time ago that seeks to defeat me. The only time I go back to my past is when I go back to see what I learned there. Because what I learned there will keep me from ever going back there. And what I learned there that the enemy used against me, that used to be my arena of affliction, is now under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Because I realized it was wrong, I cast it out, and I have continued to make sure that I bring it into captivity. And now I am taking that, going into other people's lives and rescuing them and carrying them out. Put your hands together. That's a good word from the Lord. Proverbs 18 says it like this. And can I just tell you, we have pushed the pause button on the Beatitudes. We will get back to them. Proverbs says it like this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you know your tongue is a tattletale? Given enough time, your tongue will tell someone what your brain's been thinking about. I've had to stop people before and say, ma'am, sir, sweetie, honey, you had to work really hard to get to where you're at right now. You've had to take everything you know about me and push it to the side. And from what you don't know, create this fearful abuse. Because if you know me, you'll know that's not true. And I'm going to stop you right now, sunshine, because that's not truth. Are we clear? See, I'm a certified therapist, and I haven't understood why people don't come back after the first session. No, I really do know. Because I let them talk, I let them whine, I let them complain, and then I tell them the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I'll remind them, don't forget, we're here because of you, not because of me. Here's what you need to understand. You're a precious investment to God. And a lot of the reason why you and I can become very slack, indifferent, apathetic, judgmental, and critical in and with our faith is because that's what we've been listening to all week long. That's our appetite. Proverbs says in 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks, so is he. Do you know that you can limit yourself by how you see yourself? You can limit yourself by how you see yourself, and you prove that every day. You have a very disciplined way of thinking, even if you're lazy and think on death all day, every day. You've set yourself up to receive what you've thought on, and given yourself time enough, you will tell others what you've been thinking on. So I'd got done preaching at a pretty good-sized conference the last of the year, and a preacher came up to me, and I knew from the body language this was not going to go well for him. And now this is an illustration, and it's not to poke fun at preachers, but it's to help you recognize that even though I is one, I'm still a human being, and I still live in the real world that you live in. And I still have to deal with the same kind of people you still have to deal with. And have you noticed that people will say the darndest things? To where you're like, really? Idiot, party of one, your table is now ready. Idiot, party of one. Did I just say for most of us what you've always wanted to say? Okay, so here we are. So I had known this guy. How long have we known? I had known this guy for about 23 years since I'd come to Houston. And for 23 years, he was stuck in a day called Someday. And he was stuck in the flesh. And he was stuck there because all of his thoughts reinforced these unhealthy, unfair expectations of Someday. Instead of being obedient today, he would sit back and he would expect his pastor to realize what a tremendous preaching gift he had, what a tremendous calling he had, how he had been called to the nations. Now keep in mind, this is the same fellow that he wouldn't open and close the church, he wouldn't clean the bathrooms, he wouldn't go preach at the local nursing home, because all that was too great for his calling and anointing. See, when you get too big to do something little, now you are so little you can't do something big. And I knew this was not going to go well for him because I know I'd already been nice several times with him. Because I try to be long-suffering. I do. I mean, I do have to try. I do. Don't I, Clint? Don't I, Jay, Pam? Okay, so, you know, because if you've worked with your pastor for any length of time, you'll know I'm going to be very patient. I am going to be long-suffering. I'm going to let you make mistakes. I am going to coach you. Like this morning, my wife is recovering from being ill all week long, and I wasn't just going to leave who I'd asked to lead worship alone and up here all by himself. And so I was his little cheerleader. And so I was looking at him, and I was giving him thumbs up. I was reminding him to smile, and I was kind of communicating with the praise team and keep going. Y'all are doing great because I that's what I believe. That's what I practice. That's who I am. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. I love people. I believe in people. But I'm also allergic to certain kind of people. This is the guy that fits in that category in my life, and you have people like that in yours. Are we all on the same page? Man, I'd taken him to eat. I'd given him a $100 love offering out of Clint's paycheck one week. I'd sent him thank you notes. I took him to eat at district council. And you know, I'd poured and poured and poured into him. And he's, you know, all these years later, he's at the same place. And he came up there with that same look on his face. I knew this is not going well for him. I could feel that fire in me like, you know what? Mama's had enough. Because there ain't some mama in me. So he comes up in those puppy dog eyes. He's like, gee, I just wish someday I could be up there preaching like you. But because, you know, you're the most favored in the district and you have a big church. And if my wife could sing like that, then I'd have a big church too. And I mean, he relegated, hear me now, where he wasn't to where I was. And I'd heard this same thing. And I asked him, what church are you at? Well, and he promptly told me that he was now in his sixth church in less than like 23 years. Actually, less than about 10 years. And so I listened, and he continued to whine. And he said, what do you think? I said, you probably don't want to know. And I jokingly said, but I want to tell you. But I don't know if you can handle this. And he said, go ahead, I'm ready. I'm like, are you sure? I said, sir, I've tried to love you. But if I love you the way you want me to love you, it'll be toxic for both of us and we'll both go down. I said, sir, I'm tired. I'm tired of pouring in to you. You are like a bucket with holes in the bottom. And the more prophetic things I pour into you, the more I give to you, the worse you get. You've been in all these different churches and nothing's changed. And you have set back and you are held hostage by a thinking that somebody owes you and that someday it's going to happen. I said, sir, someday doesn't become the day until today becomes the day of broken, humbled surrender and obedience to God. But somewhere along the line, you thought you were too big for obedience. The reason I stand on that stage and I preach tonight is not because I'm someone. It's because God in me is someone. And I have committed myself to a life of holiness, which means I can't whine and complain. I can't live like you do. And I won't. That's why I won't keep going to take you to eat. And I won't drink coffee with you because you and the way you think wants to bring me down. And you won't be happy until you do. And I won't let that happen to myself. He's just crying, and his wife's come up during that time, and I'm like, here we go. It's going to be a two for one. And she said over his shoulder to me, this is why our marriage is so messed up, because he is selfish, and he only cares about what's in it for himself and only gives when he can get something in return. She looked at me, and she said, keep going, man of God. Welcome to Dominion. Real talk. Amen. Tough talk. But it really shouldn't be tough. It should be us being like, you know, he's right. I am toxic. And yet my arrogance doesn't see my own toxicity. My pride sits back entitled, thinking everybody owes me something. And if I had all the benefits they did, I'd be blessed too. No, I think Paul makes it very, very clear here. We can set the limits on God, and that with God there are no limits. But too often we limit him with how and what we think. And most of the time it begins in how we look at ourselves. The Bible says that all of the commandments of the law and the prophets, they hang on this one truth. Love the Lord thy God with soul and mind. And the second is likened to it. I mean, Jesus didn't even take a breath before he said, and the problem is, because you and I have not loved ourselves in a holy, pure, biblical sort of way, then that lack of loving us shows up in how we love and what we expect from others. Can I have a good amen? Amen. And so we place limitations on not just what we give, but then what we can receive when we in our thoughts decide we are going to allow these vain imaginations, these supernatural weapons, which are carnal and they're mighty. Kid not yourself. These weapons work both ways. God is saying you've got weapons that you can use, and they're mighty, and they are to be used to tear down all of these thoughts and all of these imaginations. This power is mighty enough to destroy the strong man and the argument and the thoughts and the accusations. But kid not yourself, if you're not in the right position, you'll let that strength, that spiritual weapon work against you in the same way. When you daily entertain, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm divorced, I'm despised, I'm the black sheep in our family, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm somewhere in between, I'm black, I'm white, I'm like pastor, I'm like seven different, I'm Heinz 57, you know. I made a mistake, I made a failure, when that's all you dwell on, Proverbs says that then death comes to you. It comes out your tongue. It tells on you. So what does your life tell others? The Bible says, look around at people. They're fruits. They're fruits. They're fruits. Watch their fruit. Watch what is being duplicated in the lives around them. This guy, we go back to the guy in my life that kind of was blaming me because I wasn't paying enough attention to him because he was too toxic for me. He was blaming me in his own way for his ministry not growing. And he said, yeah, I was on your website the other day and I noticed that you're on 10 different boards. Guess you're too big now for me. I've heard that there's a lot of ministers being raised up in your church and spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. And I just think it's ironic that you would have a heart like that for them, but not to have a heart like that for me. And I said, sir, we're done. I said, you know, we're done. I am not obligated to listen to you any longer. That's your fruit talking, not mine. You're talking out of your lack of what you don't have, and you're despising the fruit that I do have that came with the flesh, blood, sweat, and tears of my own obedience. Are you breathing? Because I'm about to finish. And you're about to start because you got that person in your life out there. And maybe more than one. Now, here's the problem that I see. And there's probably more than one, but here's the one I'm going to talk about. Too many of us read the story of David and his giant as if we're David, when in reality, we're the giant. Chew on that. Get a little cud going in your mouth. Yeah. Do a little Duck Dynasty. Little Uncle Si up here. Think about it. Not only does that supernatural process of God work at home in your thoughts and give you the power to create your someday today, but it can continue to be used against you to enslave you today's gone by. And if you're not careful and you don't chew on this, you're going to keep waking up every day and you're going to keep finding yourself living a life that's fruitless and barren. And nobody wants to be around you, and you'll still be like that guy expecting everyone else to do something that only God asks you to do. And you'll be sitting on the sidelines, and you'll be reading God's word, and you'll be like, yeah, David, that's me, the giant, that's all the people against me. Yeah, the army of the Lord, that's all those people that don't pay me no R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Tell me what you think of me. And here we'll be. And we are so reading the story as if we're the king instead of the giant. Not realizing that we are the giant in other people's lives, that every day when they get up, we're the one that wakes them up with accusation, and we're the one that puts them to bed with accusation. Amen. Greg, you're changing my life. That is a great sermon, Pastor Greg. I'm so glad I came this morning. I'm so glad you got up out of bed this morning. I'm so glad you've been shut away with God this morning. I am so glad you don't listen to what people have to say about where you've been and where you're going. I'm glad you listen to God. Pastor Greg, I'm glad you are strong and courageous. I'm glad that you're radical. I'm glad that you'll preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I am so glad, Pastor Greg, that you don't let toxic people into your head because it'll get in your mouth and then in my soul is you preach God's word. I am so glad, Pastor Greg, that you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm so glad, Pastor Greg, that you don't just let anything or anyone speak into your life. I'm so glad, Pastor Greg, when you preach past noon, because that's when fresh bread from heaven falls down into the room and is changing my life. I'm so glad, Pastor Greg, that one day you woke up and had an awakening. I am so glad that you started to be better party of one instead of bitter party of one. I am so glad that you sat alone with God until you're not alone anymore. I am so glad that I'm in a tongue-talking, faith-speaking, powerful, praising kind of church where not only do the weak survive, but they thrive and they overcome. That's my church. That's my God. And I did not come here to play nice or to ask permission or ask how you feel. You can be seated. I just modeled for you the discipline I put on every day. That's how I start my day. Because here's the given. The Bible's clear. It's clear in Proverbs. Pride goes before the fall. It's not if you have pride, it's what part of you does pride control. And either you can fall on your spiritual assurance in your pride, or you can take your pride through praise and worship, because it's not if your pride is going to fall. It's not if you have pride. You have pride. It's going to fall. So you owe it to yourself to have the spiritual discipline to daily fall on your face before a holy God and say, God, save a sinner such as I. I am a wretch without you. This day I will call you amazing. This day I will be amazing because my life is your life and your life is my life. And this story ends with your glory and not my own. You see, too many of us wake up and we make our day and we make our story and we make our world all about us. But when you begin to make it all about him, miracles happen. Supernatural things happen. And you start demolishing enemies that you were never supposed to see in the first place. That's why the old saying is, I looked in the mirror and I saw the enemy. And he is I. Closing thoughts from a passionate, radical, God-loving preacher. Our thoughts, how we see ourselves is powerful. Number one, they are weapons. They have the power of death and life in them. You all owe yourself a favor. And that is to ask yourself, what are your thoughts? How healthy would it be if we took your thoughts, put them into a major motion picture, and we watched them on Sunday mornings? And sometimes we wonder why we're in such a funk. It's because you're playing the wrong music, white boy. Play that funky music, right, boy. Come on, get your, come on, Airbenders, let's go. I play bass on this song. Who plays electric? Who plays the drums on this? I'm telling you, I'm calling the army of the Lord out. Who plays drums on this song when it comes on? Stand up and get the drums out. Let's go. Here we go. Who sings lead vocal? This is crazy because you know I know you better than this, and we all do this together. Where was I before you didn't sing the song God had called us to? You know, you got to understand that for most people, toxic thinking is normal. From the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, that's all they think. They think toxic thoughts that constantly put themselves down. And then are shocked at the end of the day that the day didn't go any better than it did, that there's been no divine opportunities. In fact, they actually feel worse when they go to bed, only to repeat the process the next day. You got to ask yourself, how are you using your weapons? Are you using them to defeat strongholds on the outside of you or reinforce strongholds on the inside of you? That's your call. Pick it up and answer. Tell them you're in church and this guy won't stop preaching. Jay was with me last year. I preached 7 times in less than 48 hours. And I think you said it yourself when I got in the car. The 7th sermon I preached was actually my most fresh sermon. Actually, it was the 8th because I preached to him on about 3 hours of driving home. But... So you got to ask yourself, how am I using my weapons? How am I using my weapons? They're supernatural. Kid not yourself. In your natural pea-sized brain, there is some supernatural work going on. And it's mighty. It's either putting up some strongholds or it's tearing down some strongholds. Only you can answer that because only you can prevent forest fires. Incredible thought number 2. Okay, evidently number 1 wasn't that incredible. You can either empower yourself to fulfill God's calling in your life, or you can use your power to disqualify you from God's calling in your life. How are you using it? How are you using it? See, this guy that came at me, again, he is representative of the people that come at you. He had the power in his words to defeat and bring death to what I'd work hard to produce life from. And if I'd allowed what he had to say and what he thought, guess what? It'd have been a stronghold. And some of you are probably thinking, oh my gosh, Pastor Greg, when you went off and prayed on, or when you went off kind of on him and told him what he needed to hear, oh my gosh, aren't you scared of what he'll say? No. Because he was probably already talking bad about me before our conversation in the altar. See, if you're not careful, people will make you like crazy. If you're not bipolar before you start doing life with people, you will be shortly thereafter. Can I have an amen? People will make you crazy. They will make, let's say it together, people make me crazy. And you're one of them. People can make you crazy. And I don't know where you and I got this thought that we had to listen to everything everyone said and that we had to be nice to everyone. No, hold on, some of you are like, blah, 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 but the Bible says to love others is, yeah, it does. I'm not changing scripture and I'm not changing a principle here. What I'm trying to drive home to you is the importance of recognizing that, you know what, you can be nice and not listen to their trash. You don't have to entertain that. You don't have to involve yourself in what they think. Because if all you do for your life is follow what other people think, then you'll get what they have. And is it worth you losing what you have for what they don't have? Real truth. Welcome to Dominion Church. Yeah. Incredible thought number 2. Yeah. Number 3, our thoughts can limit, paralyze, and restrict our faith. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Some of us have no vision for what God wants to do through us. And so we constantly disqualify ourselves. Again, that we put the record on. I'm this. I'm not that. I'm not good enough. I've got black hair and they were wanting red. And do you see what I'm saying? It's just, you're training yourself. You're training your power to work against you. So the thought is, your thoughts can limit, paralyze, and restrict your faith, or your thoughts can see, release, and set in motion God's vision for your life. That's where your pastor tries to live. I try to recognize when something tries to limit, paralyze, and restrict me, I start looking in it for what I don't see. Because God's in all that, because God wants me to see that he might release and set in motion his vision for my life. Well, I'm done teaching today. I'd like to preach the rest of this message, but I want to just stop, and I just want us to download for a minute. You to think about what you've been thinking about. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And when you do, I'm going to let you shake it all off. I'm just not going to think that anymore. I'm going to quit lisping to the with birth. Quit. I could not even try and make that happen. That's just me. I'm not going to listen to the whispers that disqualify me anymore. I've allowed that to become a stronghold in me. And now, so strong, it limits what I'll do for God. It doesn't limit what God could and would do for me, but it limits the obedience I'll give to God that releases God to be unlimited in my life. I'm getting us ready for next weekend. As your shepherd and as your pastor, I'm getting you ready for what's going to happen next week that's designed to set in motion something for you to see, something to be activated in you, and then something by faith for you to begin to walk into so that you'll begin to see your future that God had always intended to be happening now and be happening with power, with supernatural signs, miracles, and wonders. And so I ask, who's in? Who's in? Who's in? I wonder, is it just Kendall? I knew I could count on Kendall. I knew Sharon could. The Catlins for 16 plus years. All the days of your life just about have been reserved to walk with Dominion Church, to activate Dominion Church, to see what only you would see so that God could do what only God could do through you and through you and through you, big boy. You might be late in the battle, but baby, you are here. I'm telling you, this is the land of giants. We are the giants. And the way I'm spinning it now is, we are the devil's worst nightmare. He fears us waking up in the morning because this church knows how to praise. It's going to read God's word. It's going to hide. This is one of those sermons where you hide God's word in your heart so you'll stop sinning against God. Do you understand the reason God is going to speak to you about your thinking is that's where your sinning has begun. Man, you have thought so bad about yourself for so long, you don't know you can think more and think different. So you get around somebody who thinks tall, and it freaks you out because you think so small. Oh, this has been such a good day. Out with the bad, in with the good. Fill your lungs full of God's word. Go ahead, start prophesying over yourself. Start empowering yourself. Start speaking life. Go ahead, don't wait. Clap for yourself. I do every morning. I say, man of God, what are we doing today? I got places to go, people to see, tires to kick and fires to light. Light some tires and kick some. Anyway. So I want you to shake off. If you've created this stronghold of thought in you, that you're nothing and you're no one, and it's too late for you, I just want you to shake it off. It's a new time in this church. It's a new season. It's a new day. Our problem's not $3.7 million. That's his challenge, not mine. I don't really have a lot of problems, do you? But I have a whole lot of God. I'm shaking off some sickness. I'm shaking off some disease. I'm shaking off some sorrows. I'm shaking off some excuses. I'm shaking off some toxic thinking and some toxic people. Go ahead and be the spiritual tour guide Barbie in your life and say, bye-bye. Go ahead, just shake it off. Shake it off. We got to get ready next weekend. Next weekend, next weekend, next weekend. It's going to be a heavy infiltration of God in this place. Man, he's going to heal bodies, open blind eyes, bring businesses that have been struggling into a time of harvest and healing. So God, we just praise you. Man, we don't have to have music to praise you, because we think about you and what you've done for us, and we want to shout. I think about what you've done for me, and I want to shout. I want to clap. I want to jump. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, thanks for being here. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. We're going to have a night of worship. We've asked ministers Kendall and Vivi Massey. We're just going to blow this place up with worship. Steve Holland and Nation's Edge Ministry is going to be here. And for an hour, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to end with communion. And we are going to be in position to be blessed for the power now. God bless you. Have a great day.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.